Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to DesignFootball.com podcast number 21. I think it's number 21. This is a review of 2016, and to review all the design football type things that have gone on in 2016, I'm joined by True Colours author and the man behind the True Colours football kits website, John Devlin. Hi John, how are you?
Hello Jay, I'm good thanks, and yourself?
Yeah, I'm alright. Stressed out about Christmas. As we record this, Christmas is fast approaching in terms of hours and minutes and seconds. So
am I on double pay for this today?
No, it's to just break the mystique completely, it's Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve is a normal working day. Set up a Saturday rate for you. It is a Saturday, but it's just normal.
Yeah, I'll bear that in mind.
Yeah, so just remember for next year, maybe we can renegotiate if you want more. Yeah, okay. So 2016. 2016 has clearly been awful in many, many different ways. But in terms of design of football kits mainly, what are your thoughts on that?
Do you know, I think it's been pretty good. I look back, I think last season I thought it was one of the weakest we've had for a while. But if you review the kind of the Euros and even going down through the kind of the English leagues at the moment, I think there's some really good stuff there. I think Adidas have raised their game a bit. They've changed things around a little bit. That's really fresh. And even going down to the lower leagues, the quality of some of the designs is brilliant. There's a few duff ones there as well, of course, but on the whole, I think the standard is generally good. I think the industry is still in a bit of a crisis in terms of where does it go next, but at the moment, the designs themselves are strong. That's my view. And how do you feel about it?
I don't know. I think we're I think it's like a transitional period, because it seems like there's loads of different things going on. So some brands are still trying to do the Umbro thing, the tailored by Umbro thing, and keeping it very, very simple. But then others are bringing back the more garish stuff. And obviously Nike are doing their own thing. I suppose the big thing in this year has been Nike Vapor. Now, as I sort of spit that, that may be tells you what I think of that, but that's had its plus and minus points as well. So one of the first podcasts we did, we talked about it and sort of did a preview when the stuff was first being released. Now we're like a year on. What are your thoughts on it now? Is it grown on you, or
do you know what? I'm still in as much of a quandary about it as I was back then. I think I've dug deep a little bit in finding out what the kind of thinking is behind it, especially with the mismatched socks, and understanding a little bit where Nike is coming from in terms of their general direction. It fits in perfectly with where they're going. They're looking at very, very simple kits, and they're holding up, I think it was the PSG kit, very plain. Was it a special one they did last year? I can't quite remember, but that's the one they're using as their kind of direction, if you know what I mean. So everything's becoming a bit more simpler from Nike. But I think where Nike kind of went wrong a little bit was not explaining more about the design and what they were trying to achieve with having the mismatched socks, even. This idea of the flicker effect, so that the team is all clad in one colour. The socks are a bright, different colour, and it's supposed to aid visibility on the pitch. So there was some method in the madness, but if that isn't explained and isn't kind of communicated, people just think it's a quirky design decision, don't they?
Yeah, I wonder. I take the point that it wasn't communicated well enough, but that's an issue with all the gumph that they send out when they release these new kits, and it is just that you just look at it and go, I'm not reading that.
Yeah,
I want to know what the kit is. So okay, I'm looking at the kit, and it's France. You've put in blue shirt, blue shorts, and red socks. They've worn that before. But that's not their standard colours. They either wear all blue or they wear the French flag colours. So although that can be their argument that, well, actually, there was thought behind this, people's reaction is going to be, no, don't dress our football team like that.
It's like the boy who cried wolf, though, isn't it? You know, they've all these reasons why these conceptual kits have come about, and people are now turning off that idea. And when there is actually a proper technical philosophy behind it, in as much as this will help players in a high speed, high fast powered game pick out their teammates, that whole philosophy is now lost because people are ignoring the bump that goes with it.
Mm. Yeah, this is the thing where they can laugh and they can sit back and relax. Right. Is that the Euros, which was the first time the vapor kits were really worn in a tournament of any significance. The finals between Portugal and France, both of them wearing so-so colours in terms of what they usually wear.
Yeah,
but. That's the pinnacle of it, isn't it? And Nike's record in tournaments is not fantastic. So they got two teams to the final. If it is this whole technical thing, they got two teams to the final, and obviously one of them won it. So are they right, and is everyone else wrong? I don't know.
But the other question is, will every kit they ever make from now on follow that same trend?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it won't. Next season, there'll be something else, and that will be forgotten. And that's what becomes hard to swallow, where people don't take that seriously. Because they think, well, if that's the case, then every kit from now on should follow that new development, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, this is the science thing as well, isn't it? That I don't know. I don't know anything about science, so I shouldn't have brought this up as an example. But as you go through history, things are established as facts, and then they're completely undermined by some more scientists who come along and go, well, that was wrong. This is now what we think. And it's like you can hold these scientists of the past up as investigative and what they found, despite being wrong, led us to the truth. But the truth is always temporary. And that would be the Nike defence that, oh, we thought the best way of doing it was to have the shirt and shorts in the same colour, but it turns out we did some more tests on the human eye and how fast it could digest information, and actually the normal colours that the club has been wearing for 10 seasons prior to is actually the best way. So we've decided to go back to that.
You might be right. I mean, it's like Umbro with their the England shirts that were kind of twisted in the seams. Do you remember those? Was it the away kit we went to the launch for?
Yeah.
Where the idea was it was the player in action, and the whole cut of the shirt was designed to match that action pose, as it were.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, well, that was the thing with that England away kit. We've talked about this before, so we shouldn't talk for too long about it. But the idea was it was doing away with the base layer as well. The players could wear just the long sleeve version of that shirt was like wearing a base layer and an outer layer. But that is something that this Nike Vapor thing has revisited, and they've said that. But the players undermine it by wearing base layers. For example, England at the Euros were wearing. Looked like green base layers. That was the closest colour they could find to the sky blue sleeves with green base layers.
It didn't work. It didn't. I don't know. I think with the vapor kits, I mean, when I heard this theory, I thought, right, if that had been really properly communicated, that might have had a bit more, you know, might have had a bit more oomph. I think they obviously made a decision not to go so far with that. But, you know, some of them, I think there is a real modern look about them, sure. The fact that they literally all follow the same template, again, there's an argument to say there's not enough individuality there, of course. But then Kappa have done that, followed that kind of idea for years, and their stuff always looks great. So I don't know. It's still one that still has more questions than answers for me.
Yeah, I particularly like the and they are super tight at the minute, but the the Napoli kits are great this season. So they're like really basically painted on, but they somehow they make it look fantastic.
Right. Okay.
Not for the fans, really. Yeah.
It's definitely been one of the kind of big talking points in the kit world has been Nike's approach, and of course with you know the new club they've got Chelsea coming. Who else is it? Spurs as well. Is that right? Is that the other one they have?
Yeah, I think Spurs and Chelsea. Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a resurgence in the English leagues, but I know from what I hear that they're still focusing very much on international and in Europe as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the vapor thing. I like that they did something different, but to do away with collars completely. Like, some people don't like collars anyway, but to say no club is going to have a collar anymore. I don't know how long that's been going on for, but that seems like it's come along with the vapor thing. That
it could have been.
We're not going to give a neck design to different teams. That's an odd thing to say.
I mean, when you spoke earlier as well and saying about how it's a little bit of a free-for-all, a bit of a potpourri, if you will, in terms of design, which is true, and it has been for a few years now. But I think the last major trend was that kind of neck. If you look back at the early 2000s, I think I always refer to them as like the minimalist look, where there's no excessive fabric at all. So it's kind of come back from that a little bit. And if you're looking at all this idea of keeping weight of clothing down and apparel, you know, how that works, then not having a collar kind of does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, but where that fits into the visibility on the pitch thing, I don't know. I don't. Well, they won the Euros. Nike won the Euros, so maybe they're right. They can't be right. That just kills football. You say to a team, you have to wear colours based on that, that's just the money taken over, isn't it? If you're saying to a club, you can't wear those colours anymore because simply you will not achieve a success on the pitch because our eyes, human eyes, will not. No,
it can't. But, you know, I guess Chelsea do it, don't they? They obviously wear all blue and white socks and have done for some years.
Yeah,
but again, they didn't win anything until they got a stack of money launched coming their way.
Yeah, it's there have been cases where with these vapor kits that clubs have done differently, and one of the big kits of the year, and you are seeing sort of polls and these little articles about what are the kits of 2016, and the Barcelona kit seems to be popping up all over the place. Everyone's going on about that Barcelona kit, which is redoing it would have been the 1991-92 kit, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if they had it for several seasons before that, but yeah, the current Nike Barcelona kit, so this season. Now, that's not old news because we've had all the leaks for next seasons as well, but the one that they've been wearing this season is a vapor kit, and it's made to look like and Adidas are suing them as well because they've got, it looks like three stripes on the front or something.
I think that's nonsense. That really is. I was really disappointed to hear that. But, and it's not a mismatched one, is it? They've not gone for the flicker effect socks on that.
No. What they did, they missed a trick in the whole stretch thing on the sides, it's got that stretch panel.
Yeah.
And if you stretch, and that's really good on the actual, what are they called? I forget which is the fan version, which is the stadium. They've got a special name for each.
Oh.
Stadium, I think, is the player one.
Yes, I think that's it.
Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, is it Authentic's the player one and Stadium is the fans one? I don't know. Anyway. The players one's got both have this stretch thing. The replica one's rubbish. The player one's really good.
Yeah.
So it you barely see these stripes that are in between. There's stripes in between. If you stretch the fabric, there's seven of them, and you see another colour showing. And if you look at match pictures, like high definition match pictures, and there's someone going into tackle, or they're moving their body in a way that means that the shirt is getting stretched, you do see this appearing and it looks really good. But they missed a trick with Barcelona, because what they should have done is had that stripe down the side as yellow.
It definitely.
And only had Yeah, and they, I think they've got it in red.
Yeah.
And if you stretch it, it's you see the blue stripes. If they've done it in yellow, and then you stretch it and you see the red stripes,
yeah,
then it
yeah.
would have been like the Catalan flag. That would have been fantastic. But that's they didn't do that.
That is a brilliant idea. Why didn't that happen? That would have been the obvious, even looking at the pictures of it now, I'm thinking, well, they've got to be yellow down the side. Surely that's the colour scheme they've got to go for.
The last season shirt had the yellow stripe down the side, though. You know that they had hoops the season before?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Instead of that, that had the yellow stripe down the side. So I suppose it's a make it as different from that as possible.
We're back to my favourite ever kit phrase. It's tail wagging the dog again, isn't it? It's like we've got to change it because we have to. But actually, if those bits really work, they should be retained. That should be, you know, part of that identity. Make a new kind of visual language for the club.
Yeah, I would be totally in favour of that. They always have the Catalan flag on there somewhere, and that would have been a great way to.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, as well, looking at the stuff down the sides there, the panels there, how more so, and again, when kits really went through that change in the 70s, and actually even going back further, the simple stripe down the shorts, that's got to be one of the classic design elements. I mean, it's still rife throughout football, isn't it? Nike are doing it, and have done for some years, and having them down the side of the shirts as well. It's amazing how that stayed as long as anything, as long as any design element.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you've got it across the board now. You probably won't have it next season, but Adidas have obviously got the stripes down the side as well.
Yeah.
And their kits look good when they link up, but a lot of people are not angry. What's the word? If you're getting angry about it, then it's you're through the looking glass, really. But people are getting annoyed because if you have a different colour pair of shorts, then the stripes are then changing colour when they get to the shorts, when really it'd be better if it stayed the same colour as a continuous line from shorts to shirts. Yeah, but that's Adidas, and I think we've still got more to say about. I don't know. Have we? I think we have covered the vapor thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's still. It's still a real opinion divider, and I'm still not sure. I have a mixed feeling. But again, you can't deny. I've always said before, see a team wearing the kit, see the kit in action. That's when it really earns its keep or doesn't. And you know, some of the vapor stuff does look good when it's worn, and certainly looks a lot better than still photos of it.
Yeah, and it's just that annoying element where you go, this technical element, you include all this, it's all rubbish, and then they have success on the pitch as they will claim as a result. And that
it's really stupid. I hadn't twigged the significance of the Euros as well. You know what, there's something in there. Let's see who wins the Premier League. That'll be interesting.
Well, Chelsea are on for it at the minute, but if Man City have a late surge and win it, then things could
that's what will happen. That's a shame.
Nike would be insufferable, wouldn't they? Oh, dear.
Yes.
The other thing is this thing where you've got to have the two colours and stuff. Brazil, obviously, it seems to me that Brazil went, no, we're not doing that. You know what colours we wear, and we always wear these colours. But there were, and I bought them, there were a pair of yellow shorts, which are classed as chain shorts. I don't think they've ever worn them. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're great. So there was an attempt to do it. I'm sure there was an attempt to do it. And you could buy those shorts, which I did. Because that is a moment in kit history where they tried to change Brazil's shorts from blue to yellow, but they failed.
And it's interesting again, isn't it, that the certain manufacturers and certain football federations get this kind of the options there, whereas others don't. I mean, remember in the Euros, Wales had to wear their away kit because of the white shorts clashing with England. Was that
the reason?
I think so, wasn't it? And yet there was no red shorts in the kit bag.
Yeah, they didn't have red shorts, but I thought it was because England were wearing red socks, and England. Oh, I don't know. But they just would have changed the socks.
Yeah, the
socks. I don't know.
But again, if it was the shorts or the socks, of course it would have. Well, I don't know if it's it would have been whichever one it was. In the past, that wouldn't have been a problem at all for a manufacturer to say, "Yeah, right, here you change shorts, here you change socks." I'm sure it was the shorts because Shaky mentioned it, and he was really annoyed when Scotland played Malta, and Scotland wore blue chain shorts, and it was like, you know, I think they were actually training shorts they wore. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But,
okay.
Again, it's delivering that service and giving the people the options. And Brazil obviously have it with their chain shorts, but, yeah, it's funny. And of course, Scotland again with the England shirt business. I mean, you know, we see a lot of one-off shirts appear, and we've seen a couple this year as well. We saw France in the Euros.
Yeah.
With that, the mismatched shoulder business with Nike.
Yeah.
And also, didn't Roma wear a one-off shirt for an anniversary recently?
Yeah, they played the Rome Derby game against Lazio, and they wore a special kit, which was nice. And it was nice. The colour scheme was great and everything, and it was a simple version, but it was still just like a vapor kit.
Yeah.
The vapor kit just takes over everything, apart from maybe Barcelona, and then you can just go, okay, it's just a template.
Yeah.
But with other teams, that whole principle has taken over to such an extent where they're not, a team isn't unique anymore. There's not a contrast with the team they're playing against. And you see that with the players, and obviously the build of players is almost identical throughout the team now.
Mm.
Because they're just so toned, and they're trained to within an inch of their life, really. And
But you know, that is Nike's philosophy of simple expanses of colour. Colour is a dominant thing. The technology, the fabric, that's driving the kind of construction of the shirt. Everything else out the window. Not interested. It's you know, Nike have really, they've got a very clear pattern, and there's one chap in particular, I can't remember his name, that's really driving this direction, and they're rolling it out. That's what they're doing. So there's very little, you know, superfluous additions to it.
The sales would be the thing. Are people lapping this up? Because there's so much marketing put into it that this is beyond anything else. This is like, I know they say every season, and like a musician will release something every time. This is definitely our best album. This is our best album every time. And in 2 albums' time, they'll go, yeah, that album, why did we release that? That was shocking. So they will rewrite history a little bit, but Nike more than ever are saying, because they're dressing everyone the same and saying everyone has to be like this, so every client in effect is getting the best deal, and we wouldn't let anyone down, so everyone's going to wear this optimum sportswear. They are more than anyone has ever said before, they're saying this is the best kit ever, and that's why it's annoying that they've kind of been proved right, and the only way they can be proved right, they have been, by winning the Euros.
But you make an interesting point as well. If it comes to replica sales, how does that translate?
Yeah.
Of course, they've got to be worried about that. My view is always to design for the players. That should be the first priority, and fans will buy whatever the players wear.
Yeah.
So in some respects, that makes me happy. But at the same time, you've got to give the fans a value. If you're going to change as frequently as you do, give the fans value. But again, you know, if you look back to the 60s and even the early 70s, when everyone had crew neck, long sleeve shirts, all the designs were the same. It's not a million. Mm. We've kind of gone into a full circle back to that era again, where it's all about colour, and it's all about large expanses of colour. I know we've got the kind of toned sleeves, but it's definitely an interesting philosophy, and it's going to be fascinating to see how they follow it up, because I think, as we said before, that's always the trick with kits. You get a great kit, how do you then make it great the next season?
Have Nike just signed a big deal with the FA?
It's I remember being absolutely gobsmacked. The length of the deal is incredible, isn't it?
I think there's so many little conditions in the contract, and it's to do with qualifying for tournaments, and then so how much they get paid. There's potential that the FA gets an incredible amount of money, but there's also the potential, if England carry on being England, that they're going to get very little. It's going to be a very bog standard deal. Because of the lack of achievement on the pitch. And Nike, obviously, that Nike's argument will be, well, we've proved that our kit is the best kit ever through winning the Euros, so it's down to you guys now. So it's don't blame the kit,
and that's, you know, that's it as well. Is, I guess, is what does it add to the team on the pitch, and does it translate into replica sales? you know, the ideal scenario, I guess, is that it works both ways, but maybe that, that won't happen. But yeah, you're quite right as well. England, really, I don't think it's arguably, they are football-wise at their lowest ebb for many, many years. It's interesting that Nike want to commit $400 million, which apparently is the figure bandied about, for this long, long deal.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, that all the things are intertwined so much now, and I suppose they always would be with any kit deal, but the idea of, we give you the best kit, which will help you perform on the pitch. If you perform well on the pitch, we'll give you more money anyway. And also, the replica sales are going to go up because people are going to be more enthused with the England national team. So you'll do better from that. We'll do better from that as well. Our brand is enhanced because we're tied to a football team that's doing well. Obviously, there's a risk element that you do poorly, our brand is damaged by you doing poorly because we're through association. So we're going to pay you less. And that's like, that's the danger money element of it. So that, it's very clever. No wonder they get paid so much.
Definitely. Oh. In fact, just in the BBC report, actually, the deal goes to 2030. So slightly
2030. Longer. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is the kit. I think we need to be clear that the England kit specifically has not grown on us. It looks stupid because they've worn it with green base layers.
Hang on, I don't remember saying it hasn't grown on me.
Do think it has grown on you?
No, I don't. As a design on its in its own right, I think it looks good. I like it. Whether it's right for England, whether it's it goes against tradition, that's what I have an issue with. I think it looks modern, it looks contemporary. When you see England in it, you think, wow, this looks really, you know, a contemporary looking outfit. The base layer thing just irritates me so much. I think that was a real horrible situation with that the dodgy colours. But it's the bigger questions it asks, the abolishment of traditional colour schemes. That's the thing that I kind of wonder about. But also, when we talked before, Jay, is the differences between the replica shirt and the authentic shirt as well. I mean, I think get the two in your hands and compare them side by side, and they're actually very different.
I was surprised when I've spent a lot of time at Nike Town this year, and just going in there and going through the football shirts, and looking at them going, is that the different one? Okay, yeah, I can work out, because I know the things to look for, so I can work out whether that's the pitch one or this is the fans one. It's an odd thing. I don't know to what extent the Emperor's New Clothes is playing a part. I don't know if we've fallen for it, and maybe other people have fallen for it, or if it's all marketing, what percentage of it is marketing? I don't know.
Whether the federations actually have much of a choice, whether it is just a case of, you know, you are our mannequins, this is what we're going to dress you in.
Yeah.
We'll make sure the colours are different from the other blokes, and that's it. Is that what happens? You know,
I've not heard that before, but I wonder if maybe there should be a consultant who works for football clubs when they receive the kit, and that consultant says no. We are going for this 1% thing, I forget what you call it, but this idea of you've got to make everything in an optimal position.
Yeah.
And if this is slightly off, then our players are going to suffer on the pitch. So we are rejecting this kit. You've got to tweak these elements. And with so much money riding on it, I think that may be the next stage where there is maybe the kit man has to do that. The kit man has to be a sports scientist before he gets the job. That has to be a qualification, so he can check through the kit and make sure the players are going to play their best in the kit that they're given.
But the thing is as well though, Jay, is that I know for a fact that kit men don't have a lot of choice in what, you know, one of the biggest things we've seen, I think, in 2016-17 is this random wearing of away kits. It was growing in the last couple of seasons, but there's been more outrage about it now than ever before. And that's coming directly from marketing. You know, I know from the horse's mouth almost that the kit men actually don't have much of a say. It's the marketing guys say, right, today we're wearing the away kit. That's what's going on. So I think personally there needs to be a third party, not a liaison, but a third party that comes in and actually brings a bit of common sense to all parties, mm-hmm. and gets us back on an even keel again.
And Dennis Hurley.
I was going to say John Devlin, you fool.
Oh, no.
I'm the man for that job.
Oh, well, Dennis Hurley is the man for that job.
You reckon?
I reckon he is the man for the job. He is so... I mean, the point with him is that he's grown up watching League of Ireland football, and they are the worst.
Well, they were green, don't they?
They are horrendous. Oh, well, yeah. There's a lot of it, but some of the mistakes they make. And I spoke to Colin Ford about it, and he's been a kit man in League of Ireland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, it's just shocking. But Dennis, I'm putting Dennis Ford for that. I think he would be an excellent person for that job as well.
I think we could job share it. I reckon we could split it that way. That might be. I'll speak to him about that.
Put the proposal. Work it out amongst yourselves.
No, but seriously, I think there is a role for somebody that actually does these things that starts to reevaluate where kits are going and what their motives are and what they need to achieve. Because there's still, you know, I still feel that there's glimmers of you know, sort of green shoots and we're going back to some basics, but there's still things that feel like it's going a little bit out of control. So it'd be good for teams to get back that heritage and tradition and common sense when it comes to kit choices.
Mm. Yeah. We say the same thing. There's so much money involved and you're trying to get everything right and then you just do something as stupid as that. I agree with the FIFA approach. I agree with the idea of one colour kits and all that kind of thing. I like, as a principle, I agree with it, because you don't want people turning on the television who are, when you're trying to push an industry and trying to push something as entertainment, you don't want people turning on the telly and going, well, this is difficult to follow. Mm. I don't know which teams, there's a corner there and I can't see which player is which in the box. So to have people to prioritise selling a change kit over the finished article, which is the match on the pitch, that everything should be match day centric in effect. Everything, all of the other peripheral things in football, which the merchandising element is, you get that bit right on the pitch. Now, I disagree with the idea that that the starting point should be making sure that the kits, say over a season, you have the three kits that you need. If you have five kits, for example, and maybe the goalkeeper kits are emergency outfield kits and so on, then you're covered in that element. So I think then you can say, as long as we have enough options, then let's look at the colours based on what will sell. I agree with that. But you have to say, you have to make sure that you have enough options that on the pitch, you will be able to choose the correct option.
But. Yeah, and it is a choice that is in your hands rather than somebody else coming from a marketing background making that decision. You know, we had what was the Watford, was it Arsenal away at Watford, wore their third kit, the kind of fluorescent one.
Yeah.
And it was the navy one. It just made no sense. It really didn't.
No.
And again, we've got Man City and Chelsea, this fixture that I talk about every year, both wearing their home kits. And a lot of people, one of the guys at Nike said to me, it's not a clash. Clearly it isn't, if you know, obviously the refs allowed it. But if you're looking at maximum colour differences on the pitch, surely one of them's got to wear an away kit, especially when they'll don it at a drop of a hat next week at a team when they don't need to. Surely two teams in blue, albeit different shades, should be looking at a different away strip there.
I don't know. I think, especially this season, City have darker sleeves, don't they?
So
you've got another problem there, because the sleeves are approaching the royal blue of Chelsea.
Definitely.
I wonder if we get bogged down in the idea that they're both wearing blue, so that's a problem. Maybe we should just look at it and say, well, is this causing us a problem? Can we follow this game? But what City this season then? It's blue shirt, blue shorts and white socks, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And of course, and then when Chelsea played, they wore all blue.
All blue.
Had to change socks. But yeah, it's, I... it's you know, but again, it's looking at the maximum difference. If Nike are changing, and obviously it was Adidas and Chelsea that didn't change, if Nike think the colour of the socks is so important for maximum, you know, this flicker effect, this different colour on the pitch, surely you'd be looking at a team thinking, right, well, actually, do you know what? We're going to get the most standout by wearing our away kit. That to me would be the choice. And I think it's like claret and red. I think it's the same thing. It's enough of a clash to make an away kit necessary, especially when the following week they don't need to wear it and they might do.
The problem with that is that teams don't really have statement or iconic away kits anymore, or they are being disregarded. So the marketing people would say, we need a fluorescent change kit because that sells well, or we need a black away kit because that sells well. And eventually, I suppose, those things will become iconic as they have notable victories wearing a black kit. Then suddenly that's how tradition evolves. But if you have a change kit that is almost of the same importance to you as your home kit, or it's a reversal of your home kit, so you're still very recognisable, then it's not such a big problem to change. Well, and you'd be more keen to wear that. But there is, like in the Tyne-Wear Derby, often they wear their home kits when ordinarily two teams with both stripes and both with white stripes would never dream of wearing home kits against each other. But
I think that's a tricky one. I only know of a few occasions off the top of my head when one of them changed. And that traditionally, and again, when you look at any derbies, that's always a good way to pick your colours in a way, isn't it? Because very seldom, I think I don't think ever, in fact, two derby sides would be wearing the same colour. But it's the it is a tricky one. It is a tricky one. I don't know how well this situation is going to change. But I think you're right about the away kits. I'm all for iconic away kits, but I think that's out the window now. Really, we've not had that for so long. I can't see that coming back. Although interestingly, I have noticed a lot more straight reversals in the lower leagues this year.
Which
really pleased me. I think I can't off the top of my head. I can't think who they are, but there's a good four or five, I think. And that is a brilliant, you know, it's an effective, brilliant way of saying, we always want to wear our home colours, but when we have to change, we want to still recognisably be whoever we are.
Yeah, yeah. The obvious thing for Chelsea would be a red away kit, but they don't seem to be wanting to return to red away kits.
No, it's been
obviously
a long
there's
it?
The Chelsea pensioners thing, so there's an element that ties to their history. I'd like to see Chelsea wearing red away kits, but I think this whole big money rivalry with Arsenal causes a problem now, I think. So they're loath to wear red now, but I don't know.
It's odd, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know. So we've talked a lot about vapor. I think that other things have happened in 2016 that we should probably talk about as well. So the Scotland kits.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have... You're I don't want to say biased, but you have
vested interest, I guess.
Vested interest, in Scotland kits.
Do you know what? Obviously this came about. We knew it was coming, and I ranted about it a bit. When I watched the game and saw Scotland coming out in pink, it sounds over the top. I literally felt sick. I just thought, this is not right. Not because of pink, because it wasn't blue. That's the key thing. I've got no problem with pink kits at all. I'd love to see Scotland in a rosemary colours again. It just seems so wrong to have this match. And I just thought it's almost like sucking the life out of one of the greatest fixtures, the oldest international, by throwing that tradition out the window. It just made no sense. I think, couldn't they have worn a one-off, a training kit or anything? Couldn't they have... Adidas produced something. What a gesture that would have been. And, you know, that would have really shown Adidas's commitment to Scotland as well, to do that. Easily could have been done.
Yeah, you make the point of, we touched on it, that in the Euros, France had to tone down their sleeves. Still don't really know why, but they had the white shirt with red, one red sleeve, one blue sleeve.
Well, it's a FIFA rule, isn't it, that the sleeves have to be the same colour?
What is the rule? I can't remember the rule. It's something to do with if half of the shirt, say if you've got a half and half shirt, you could wear one half blue. Yeah. And you could have one sleeve blue and the other sleeve white if the shirt was half blue and half white or something. I think that would be allowed. But because the shirt body was entirely white, you can't have one red sleeve and one blue sleeve or something. Which is, I don't understand why that's even a rule. And Birmingham City are wearing their Germany kit, flag kit again this season. So is it this season? I think it must be this season.
No, it's last season.
No, last season. Oh, no. I'm getting old quickly. So they did that. They toned down the sleeves for that because to make them essentially white, to make it essentially an all-white shirt.
Yeah.
Portugal did it after the Euros as well. They played in a game in their away kit, and the body of the away kit was the same colour as the sleeves. That's classed. Was that against? I can't remember who it was against. Maybe Switzerland as well. And it was France who played Switzerland, did that. I can't remember. Anyway, so the point being, it's very easy to change the sleeves, the colour of the sleeves of a kit, especially if you're an incredibly profitable company like Nike are. So they did it, and Adidas are as well. So why couldn't they, as you say, actually, for this fixture, we've made a mistake, we've given Scotland white sleeves. If that is the problem, then we'll just give them blue sleeves for this one game. They've got white shorts, there's too much white on the kit anyway, so let's just give them blue sleeves for this game. So
and it's interesting, it's Nike that are doing it all. They're the ones that come up with the one-off kits. It's obviously Nike and Roma as well, we mentioned earlier. Why that couldn't be done? You know, you even go back to the 50s and 60s and look at one-off shirts that were appeared then. There was ironically, a Scotland shirt with white sleeves that was put together because of black and white TV. Because the team they were playing, Hungary, I think it was, they both would have looked exactly the same on black and white. So white sleeves were added to the Scotland shirt.
Brilliant.
In this day and age, with all the money, the technology, everything else around, that can't be done, or they don't want to do it. Imagine what a wonderful thing that could be. Just imagine Scotland had won 4-0. Fanciful, I know. And they're wearing a one-off kit. Can you imagine how many of those shirts would have been sold following
that? Oh, yeah, but there's the potential in it. Yeah. But the counter-argument is that the pink shirt, which I don't know whether the fans like it or not, I don't really know much about it, but if they'd beaten England in that, that would have become an iconic kit, wouldn't it? That I remember the day we beat England in the pink kit. I don't think we could argue against that. Whether we are in favour of it or not, that would have become a huge kit because of Scotland's standard in world football. Right, England are rubbish as well. But if Scotland had beaten the old enemy, it doesn't matter what they'd worn. They could have worn an England change kit. That England change kit would have been popular amongst Scotland.
I know what you mean. I think I tweeted something on the lines before the game and said, even if Scotland do win, it won't be the same that they're not winning in blue. Oof. And I still maintain that because I think it's that, if that isn't important enough, then nothing's important. You know, wear any colour you want, it doesn't matter. Because that's your identity. That's that 100-odd years. That's what you should be wearing. And it's really funny because people say to me, who's to blame? It's FIFA. We hate FIFA. And you think, well, okay. Yeah, FIFA being a little bit heavy-handed. But do you blame Adidas? Do you blame the SFA? There's all sorts of decisions, you know what it's like, along that process where at some point that kit could have been pulled or that design could have been questioned. And it hadn't been.
Yeah, the match would have been, I think the phrase would be, far from ideal, but there have been worse clashes that have been ignored than if England had worn, Scotland had worn their home kit in that game.
But you know, the SFA love that pink strip as well. And there's a great bit of footage on YouTube of, I think it was the Scotland under-17s or under-16s playing Wales, and Scotland changed to pink, so we got pink against red, you know. Ludicrous, but the SFA love that pink shirt. They're really promoting it every opportunity.
What is it? Is it pink and black? Is it? Or what?
It's pink and black. Yeah,
It is pink and black. Yeah.
And I think they probably, I don't know, Jay. I think they were quite happy to go along with it. That's my gut feeling.
Mm. Yeah,
but I don't know.
The one thing we never see is the sales figures. So
no.
You're always going to be swayed by that. And is there a charity element to it?
No, not at all.
There is. I don't know if anyone listens to this. Well, I know some people listen to this podcast, but I wonder. Well, I do know actually that people who work for the manufacturers listen to this, and I wonder if they're actually shouting now, listening to this, and saying, "We can't do this because of this reason. Logistically, it would have been impossible for this. We can." I don't know. I don't know whether they do that or if they go, "I go home." Or that would have meant working late 3 nights this week. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go home and see my family. That's why. You have to get around these problems another way. And we provided a change kit. They had to wear a change kit. That's the thing. We're railing against it. We're railing against everything because we say you've got to have 3 kits for a season because then you make sure that you never have a clash. And then when they do have a clash with someone, the science of it is you've got a clash, okay, but the second kit's fine, so you wear the second kit.
Yeah.
So if you are a robot, then you're okay, but we are not. We are emotional, and we look at it and say, well, Scotland should be wearing the home kit against England.
But I think you're quite right, and believe you me, I've laid awake at night thinking, am I overreacting here? And quite possibly I am. But I think it's that tradition, isn't it? It's that long-standing heritage between the two sides, the blue against white. It's like Liverpool and Everton, Man United, Man City. What if they wore different? What if they wore different shirts? If FIFA said or whoever said, do you know what? White collars. The collars are clashing now. Let's change. There would be uproar. Or would they? Maybe I'm making too much of it, but it's I felt it was a real shame.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting again to see what it's like when England turn up in red up at Hampden.
Oh well, okay, because Scotland would be the home team.
Yeah. So it's still going to be a clash, but of course England are more comfortable, just as comfortable in red as they are in white. I always feel so. But you know what, Joe? Southampton, 3rd kits. That was a real highlight for me this year.
Oh, so Southampton, the 3rd kit release, you're in favour of that?
I thought that was brilliant. I mean, it's they're so rare, there's surprises in football. And I think, obviously, Southampton, Under Armour, red and white stripes with white yoke, two tones, always a black and a charcoal grey for the away kit. Both of them clashed quite nicely with Bournemouth. And Under Armour produced a one-off all-white kit. Never going to be sold for retail, apparently, replica versions. So it's just for that one game. Emergency 3rd kit. It makes all us kit geeks happy, I think.
Yeah, I don't... I don't know where I stand on it. The first thing I would say... Right, okay, so I like the shirt. I think it looks great. That immediately gives me a problem in that... If a shirt looks great, then I'm not going to buy a Southampton shirt, but I think of Southampton fans who will want to own it because it's a nice shirt. So that's the first issue. Not the first issue. It's not chronologically speaking. The first issue is it actually a clash? Could Southampton not have worn white shorts?
I still think there would have been a problem. I think it was a little bit too close for comfort, right, in my view. But I think Dennis as well, he mentioned it, didn't he? He questioned that.
I think he was entirely in agreement with you.
I do listen to what you say on social media.
I was thinking that maybe it wasn't necessary, but I like that it's been released. I don't like the you can't buy it element. Maybe a limited edition or something like that, so not pushing.
That's a good compromise. Yeah, that would have been a good way, because I think people often have this criticism. They say, "Why do we need 3 kits?" And I think we prove they actually they do. Yeah, they do need 3 kits. I think that's a given. It's how far you monetize that 3rd kit, and I still find it hard that people still feel that's exploitation. I don't think necessarily it is. I think every year, you're edging towards exploitation, possibly. But having three kids is a necessary, I think.
But there are ways around it. So the carrying over of the second shirt, if you want to have three kits each season, you could carry over the second shirt and then release a new away kit the following season in a completely different colour.
There are
ways of doing it. The Southampton thing, I like the shirt. I agree with the release, but why release it? Why show someone? I mean, they did a launch in effect. So they had like a bloke wearing the kit and a proper photo shoot saying, this is what we're going to be wearing against Bournemouth. You can't have it though. don't call us. I mean, they must get calls. Like, oh yeah, I've seen, I looked at the picture of the website. I didn't read the article because I've got a low attention span. But I want one of those kits. Can I get it at the club shop? No, we did a big story about it in order to tell you can't have it. So, I don't know.
Someone emailed me, I think it was Rob Stokes actually, emailed me an old Liverpool advert from the Adidas years back in the early 90s or mid 90s. You remember when they wore that gold and black third kit? They wore United, I think it was.
Yeah.
They said then, and he sent me the article, and it says this is a one-off kit, specially produced at, you know, last minute. It won't be made as a replica. It's just a one-off because of the Clash, not the band, obviously. And yeah, I looked and I said, well, I don't believe that firstly, it's got a really intricate LFC badge all over it, so you just knock that out. And secondly, it was released as a replica. And of course, that apparently due to public demand, Adidas bowed and said, "Oh yeah, okay, we'll release it." And I think again, you know, you're looking back at what was that, 94, 95,
maybe
a bit later. Even then, there's spin going on there, isn't there? You know, and I wonder if Under Armour will say, "Oh, do you know what? Okay, let's put it out there."
Wasn't it the third kit? I reckon it was the third kit for the following season.
I can't remember. It was they wore it as a third, I'll have to check that, Jay. But no, it was, I think it did last two seasons, but they did, it was, there was a thing where they kind of said, oh, we bow to public pressure and we will put it out there. But there's no way that was knocked up at the last minute. It even had LFC embroidered on the collar. I mean, it's not.
Yeah. It's team wear. If it's a one-off thing to deal with the Clash, then it'll be teamwear with a badge stitched on. But that's a lie, and they're scamming us, and we're onto them.
20 years later, we'll call them out.
So yeah, there are other things that have gone on in 2016, as you say. Southampton is one interesting thing for the last few weeks. Are there other manufacturers that are coming to the fore at the minute that you've been impressed with this year?
Yeah, there's one that actually has kind of ended a bit sourly. Was Dryworld, who produced Watford and QPR's kits.
Yeah.
Now, when they came out, I thought, wow, Watford, really traditional, looks great, really crisp, really clear, lovely kits. QPR, again, looks good. Some challenging away colours there, but still, you know, they've retained the kind of hoop design on all three, so it's a really good, solid set of outfits for both teams. So I thought they looked fantastic. Reading some social media comments, it appears that the danger we always have is that we sit here looking at all these kits and we make judgment calls purely on how they look, but supporters will question the quality, the feel of the fabric, how good the stitching is, everything else. There were question marks over Dryworld's quality. And of course, Watford, the 3-year deal ended after just 1 year, and they've gone to Adidas, which I found a real shame. I found a real shame because I thought they were really good looking kits. Questionable quality, according to some people. I can't comment on that. But it just feels sad that a solid set of outfits has now gone out the window, and we've got nothing against Adidas. We've now got one of the big boys coming in and sucking up that deal.
And the kit that they're going to be given, it's this, the worrying thing again is that Adidas have got this contract maybe at late notice, so will they get a bespoke kit anyway? Or will they be given something that's essentially teamwear or close to teamwear? I look at the Dryworld kits. I think with Dry World, I look at them and go, oh yeah, very, very classy, very nice. But I wonder if they're maybe a bit behind the times, because we are moving away from the Umbro thing of classic and classy. Regarding the quality, I don't know. I haven't held on my hands. And you always seem to hear these little rumours. And they're hearing about Celtic kits, the New Balance Celtic kits for the past two seasons. The quality's not great on them.
Yeah, but can you, New Balance, can you seriously believe they wouldn't be producing good quality apparel? It doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
Although, actually, Jay, having said that, I know, you know, there was a big incident with Kappa, wasn't there, with Roma? Because, of course, Kappa licensed their logo, their manufacturing rights to other companies.
Yeah.
And it was one of those other companies that made the Roma kit, and that quality led to the deal ending. So, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. What I would say about New Balance kits, the Liverpool kits this season, I really like the one that they actually, sometimes you just wonder if someone's just laughing at you or whether they're laughing at us. But to call a kit Toxic Green, they've actually called it. I'm pretty sure it's officially called Toxic Green,
right?
Or okay. Toxic or something. We've released a new Toxic kit. I'm sure, but if I'm going to get sued if that's not actually true. But I believe that the marketing is that it's Toxic. And so that Liverpool change kit, the luminous green or whatever it is, I actually quite like that. I think that's a good kit. But the replicas, at least, I'm sure it'd be the same with the players. The badges, the manufacturer logo and the crest are just like, essentially stickers. They're so thin and insubstantial. It might as well be sublimated. It's so essentially two-dimensional. There's no depth to it whatsoever. And to do that with the Liver Bird, that makes me a little bit angry. Adidas, some of the last Adidas kits for Liverpool, it was basically a transfer, but it was a sort of texture transfer. It should be embroidered on. Still, I maintain that certainly on replica shirts, the crest has got to be embroidered.
If not embroidered, then it should be
like that moulded plastic thing.
I thought that was the norm these days. I'm surprised to hear that. I haven't seen the Liverpool ones in the flesh, but or in the fabric. But no, I'm surprised to hear that. But again, I guess if they're thinking, well, it's only going to last a year, so don't worry. As long as it holds out in the wash until then.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, because you'll buy the new one next season.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I don't like that.
They've only won one game. Was it the Borough game? The only one they've won so far in that.
In that change kit? I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I think they lost to Bournemouth, didn't they? That was a real shocker in it, I think.
Yeah, Liverpool don't do so well in away kits, I don't think. Just in general.
No, that's certainly true. Interesting. Yeah.
They tend to be able to wear their home kit a fair amount, and then...
Mm.
Yeah.
If you look at the English leagues as a whole, it is encouraging to still see lots of these smaller brands there. I think that's really good. And I think the only one that I wasn't a great fan of was the Area Colchester shirt. I thought a lot of the Area kits are superb this year. That one doesn't hit the spot for me. But it is still good to see these smaller brands there doing that stuff, because they need to be there. They need to be doing that. We can't just have the big three all the time.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
No. Speaking about the big three again, in terms of Adidas, the big Adidas thing is Manchester United. How have you felt about the Manchester United kits of the last two seasons?
I think they're okay. Mm. They've not thrilled me. I'm not a huge fan of massive retro designs. So I thought last year's, yeah. I don't quite get that. I always think we should be moving forward all the time and doing it for now, not looking back. But this season's I think are okay. I quite like the away actually. The white one with the kind of grey hexagon pattern standards. I like that. I'm quite into pattern. I like what Adidas can do with these things, and they're not afraid to push it out a little bit. But again, I think we're looking at next season. Let's see what they do then. That's what's going to become interesting when you look at a kit in context, what comes before, what comes after. Yeah. That's when we'll get a real feel for how well they're performing, I feel.
I wonder about the whole Manchester United thing as that it's perhaps an opportunity to get the retro leisure wear and all that kind of stuff. There's so much stuff that refers back to the previous period that they had together. And I wonder if Adidas are making a huge amount of money from that. They're going to make huge money from replica sales of Manchester United shirts, whether they're good designs or not, because simply the standing of the club. Well, I think they're focusing a lot on the other items as well, which is a bigger thing than ever now. If you look, there are so many alternatives for the football fan. If they don't like the shirt that's on the pitch, then there will be a training shirt that they might like, or a leisure shirt, or a polo shirt. And there are far more options now than there ever have been before in order to wear something to represent the football club that you're supporting. Mm. So there's a bigger market in that, I think. Adidas in general this year, have you seen any other kits?
I've been a huge fan of them this year. I think for them to take the ball by the horns and finally change the placement of their three stripes after about a decade of me shouting for it. I'm sure they've not done it because I've been shouting for it, but I think that's so refreshing. I love what they're doing with that, and I hope they continue it as well. But I think, you know, especially in the Euros, the Belgium shirts, both for the home and away, it's just class. It was absolute brilliant design. Really, the flavour of the country, really stylish, really individual, brilliant. Spain away, another one that really stood out for me. Again, a lot of people criticising it, but I looked at it and thought that's they did that the way that Warrior tried to do with the Liverpool kits. I've not said that in very good English, but you know what I mean. I think the way that Spain handled that, a little bit of thought behind it as well. So this idea of the heat map on the pitch, wasn't it? I think was that the reasoning behind it. But actually,
oh really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the mapping the players on the pitch. So there is some thinking there. But also, just as an abstract design with a bit of flair and a bit of oomph, brilliant. You know, home shirt was traditional, but the away kit really kind of pushed the boat out. So I think Adidas are on a real bit of a golden era at the moment, this season, definitely.
Yeah, I would. They're moving. I think the stripes, I think it is just a one season thing. I think the stripes are going back to the shoulders, which I believe so. We'll see if some of that carries over. But from the newer shirts I've seen, I think they're back on the shoulders and sleeves and. But maybe going back a little bit to the 80s thing of just having it on the shoulder, maybe? On
Which looks good. It's got that kind of army epaulette kind of look, doesn't it, as well, which looks good.
So,
I always look at rugby shirts as well and look at the placement of the three stripes there. Very much a 360-degree aspect to the design, so it's not just sort of front and back. It's following that round the body. I'm sure there's some technical scientific reasons they could justify that, apart from the fact that it's just different. It just looks good. But I think even their templates have been pretty good. And the Forest kit's really nice with the little button up collar. Not sure about the Middlesbrough one. Can't quite get to grips with that sash effect that looks like it's slipped. That isn't working for me. But on the whole, really impressed. Yeah, really impressed.
Well, yeah. That maybe has taken a little bit of time, and we've had to sort of digest some of those kits. But that Middlesbrough thing, I don't know. What Forest got then? Forest have got that on away kit, I think, haven't they? They've got that same
They've got a black thing, I think. A black version of it. Forest ones is just a little white, sort of almost like a granddad collar, little tiny placket, and horizontal shadow stripes. Really simple, but really nice. Brentford as well. Brentford home is very nice as well. And even some of the, you know, the stuff they did for Birmingham, West Brom have got the same collar as Forest, but there's enough mixing and matching. So essentially the West Brom shirt's the same as Forest, but in West Brom's case, the stripes go down the side and in Forest they're on the shoulders. So there's, like Puma, there's enough of that mixing and matching to keep it interesting. So essentially the templates are very, very similar, but there's enough there to, you know, make it as individual.
Yeah, the West Brom one, definitely. I love that. I think that's a fantastic shirt. The sky blue, I think maybe some West Brom fans had a problem with that. They weren't happy with the sky blue being on their shirt, maybe.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. Yeah.
But, yeah, great. I think that's a great shirt. And I remember I got Dennis Hurley and his Museum of Jerseys guys to design an Olympique de Marseille chain shirt in the style of the West Brom one, because that's what they should have gone for. They've got like every few seasons they have this Argentina thing, or they've had it a couple of times, because there's this idea that there's an affinity between Argentina and Olympique de Marseille and the way they play and so on. And there's been a fair amount of Argentinian players Argentine players that have played for L'OM, and they've got this change kit this season, which is like Argentina stripes, but it's poor. The template they've used is really bad, and it just doesn't look good. But if they'd used the West Brom one, it would have looked fantastic. So that was a pretty big missed opportunity there. I've been quite impressive with Adidas recently, especially as you say, the team wear. I think Birmingham's kit looks really good.
Yeah, and of course all the ranges as well. You know, the home and away, the third as well. It does look good. Some good stuff there.
Yeah, so yeah, they're doing okay. It's they're getting the style right. They're getting the balance right, I think, between the flourishes and keeping it the flourishes and keeping things classy. So well done to them. The one disappointment before I forget is what's gone on with the Celtic kits this season. It's 50 years. Was this season is 50 years since they won the European Cup, and first, however you want to put it, whether it's the first North European, a lot of people like to say, because they don't like to class Celtic as a British club, but it's either the first British club or the first North European club to win the European Cup, and there's not been a proper nod to that win in the kits, apart from this third kit, which is pink, supposedly, because the ticket stub was pink, or the ticket was pink for the final.
I don't buy that at all.
I take it, but I think it's, I hope, from a marketing point of view, they've done it to say, okay, this is a new frontier, and we are now going to have pink, because red has always been really avoided by Celtic. So to say now, actually, we're going to ease this in with a bit of pink and see how it goes down. I quite like that. I like that element. But there'll be a blue change kit next season, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. What I found funny, I mean, I'd quite like New Balance stuff, always have done, even before, you know, I'd like their running kit and everything else. But I think it made me laugh. Was it the is it Like No Other, or the first, something like that? For the Celtic one, Like No Other. There's never been a shirt like this. You think, well, yeah, there has. There's the gradation effect was one of Umbro's last ones for the club, if I remember. And even at a glance, the collar, you can go back to the early 90s for that. So that kind of stuff annoys me a little bit, because I think, don't say that. It's not different at all, you know.
It is quite nice. I do quite like it, but
it's okay. I think as a set of kits, I'm not sure how well they work.
No.
The black one's okay, but I'm not a massive fan of black shirts. And again, well, they've kept the kind of hoop effect on all three, haven't they? In different sizes and styles, but they've tried to keep some kind of identity there. So
yeah,
that's not a bad thing. And of course, they're sponsored Daffabet. Is that how you say it?
I suppose so. I mean,
and it's about five clubs sponsored by them in British football this year. So
all these betting companies just like merge into the same thing. I just look past it now. So it's depressing because I would love clubs to actually say, well, no, we've got to have this sponsor for X reasons, and it's tied to the club. We've talked about this a thousand times before, but as soon as they get a sponsor that has no real ethical standing or no real tie to the club, then I just look past it and just go, okay, whatever. If you've got to make money, then you make money with that. But it can have a detrimental effect on the shirt, of course.
Do you know, it's a shame. I think a lot of people feel the same as you. And I still believe in shirt sponsors. It's a great opportunity to really forge some good relationships with companies and fans. I really do think that. Look at Newcastle Brown and Newcastle United, the prime example. Yeah, maybe these opportunities are being missed when it's coming. If it's not coming directly out of the community, and I don't know, maybe we're talking out of we're talking a few decades ago now. But when you see a company sponsoring so many teams, I think that raises questions about quite what's going on with sponsorship at the moment. How on earth can they afford that? It's the same with 888, isn't it? With Birmingham, Brentford. Who else is there? There's a couple. I'm sure there's a couple others for them as well.
We have to be a little bit careful with sort of talking up someone like Newcastle Brown Ale or Newcastle and Scottish Breweries or whatever they're actually called, because obviously they're peddling poison. Could we describe as poison? But I mean, not this isn't a critique of the taste, but alcohol's not good for you.
No, so, of course not.
In moderation, perhaps.
But it's that link, isn't it? A little bit of love for the sponsor. And I think we certainly used to have that, but I doubt we'll get back to those kind of relationships again. But you're right, actually. I guess it's harder now to remember who these sponsors are. It does lack a bit of impact there.
So yeah, that might kill it in the end. The lack of impact. If they can't see the sales increase, I don't know how you would work out that sponsoring five clubs is better for you than. Do you look at the amount of bets that are placed on your stupid betting website in the Midlands area if you're sponsoring Aston Villa and you go, okay, well, that's due to us? And obviously you're going to get boycotted by their rivals, the fans of their rivals anyway, so maybe you lose out more than you gain. I don't know.
It's funny, isn't it? But I know, 888, Preston, Forest, Brentford and Birmingham. Dafabet, was it Sunderland, Celtic...
They were with Villa. I don't know if they still are.
They're not with Villa this season, no. But there's, I'm sure there's another couple as well. Can't remember the other ones.
Yeah.
Blackburn, that was another one.
Oh, yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, it goes back a bit to was it NTL that did about four clubs, didn't they? They had Newcastle, Villa, and the two main Glasgow sides.
Did they go bust? Did they eventually go bust? Maybe. Spent all their money sponsoring football clubs?
Well, yeah, it has happened, hasn't it? It wouldn't be the first time. But you're not a fan of the Celtic ones, though?
The Celtic kits, in general. I like them. I'm just permanently in a state of anger that the anniversary has basically been ignored. Mm. The best kits Celtic have had over the last few years have been the ones that have nodded to simple shirts from 67. To ignore that this year... It comes across as if it's been ignored. Maybe I haven't read all the marketing correctly, but the pink kit is the only one that I believe is a proper nod. I suppose a gold away kit suggests success. I don't know. Maybe that's to do with it as well. But.
Personally, I think pulling out a colour from a stationery at the time, it doesn't wash with me. You know, what better tribute than to have a decent, simple crew neck design, really go to town on it, really do something special. The names of the players in the shirt, I don't know. It could be all sorts of things that could be done.
That's a great one. Why didn't they do that? They should have had the design that they had in 67 with the players as part of the watermark, the numbers of the players, a photograph of Billy McNeil lifting the European Cup as the watermark that went across all the hoops. That would be fantastic.
Something like that.
so many options and to ignore it unless they're doing it next season. But that would be wrong if they're doing it next season, because this season is the 50th anniversary. So
yeah.
England haven't really done anything either. England and Nike haven't really done anything, have they, for the 50th anniversary of the World Cup?
As a Scotland fan, I wouldn't know about such things.
Well, yeah, that clearly never
happened. But now you're quite right, actually. Now I'm thinking about it, they haven't. Mm. But, you know, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Yeah. Because a lot of people don't like stars on shirts, do they? There's still quite an outcry.
Yeah.
I think it's people don't like the ones on the, some Forest fans have complained about the ones on the Forest shirts. It's a little bit ostentatious, a little bit...
Really?
Yeah. There's a mixed response to that.
I like that. I think it's good that Forest have those. I think it's especially when things are going badly, just to remind people around you, remind Derby fans.
But surely you should be moving forward. I think that's what I find with a lot of stuff at the moment. It's that tricky part of keeping the heritage, but always keep moving forward all the time.
Mm.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, going back on past glories is always dodgy ground, as it were.
Mm. Well, my concern this year, as always, is base layers. I've mentioned a couple of things, but
cool. Is that the door? I've got to go, Jay.
This is the year when, let's say, the design community backs me up, because one of my favourite things this year was the. I've got to get the word right here, but the hijab base layer that Hummel released for Afghanistan, for the Afghanistan women's team. And that is up for, I don't know if it's won it, but I think it was nominated for a design award because of obviously allowing women to, in a culturally sensitive time and... with the pressures of being a woman in a Muslim country, they allowed them to express themselves on the football pitch by wearing a hijab. Now, there will be debate with what's gone on in 2016. There's obviously a lot of debate about whether you are accepting and whether you are liberal and left-leaning if you're in favour of such a thing or against such a thing. There's a lot of debate about that. I think Hummel just need to facilitate female players being able to play football, and they did that brilliantly with the hijab base layer.
And so I think that's the same for...
That was one of my highlights.
Definitely, we should have mentioned it. You're absolutely right. And I think any way that handles women's football, it's got to be the same. You don't... Was it the FA recently came out with that patronising document about how how women should entertain, get into football or something? No, yeah. It's got to be right. But I mean, looking at that now as we're talking... The problem with base layers, I feel, is that we're going to all this trouble to tailor these shirts, to put the right elements, the right balance of colour, graphics, and then we say, oh yeah, and we're just going to slap that on as well. And that's the problem that's not being addressed. I suspect there's rules that are saying that this is why we can't have base layer kits coming from FIFA or UEFA or whatever. But I think that kit design needs to move on to accommodate this, because at the moment, they, you know, even when they match perfectly, they still don't look good, because you're effectively changing the balance of the shirt, the design of the shirt.
It's almost as if I'm listening to myself. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Really? Are we in agreement?
We are in total agreement. That I have been claiming for many years that there should be perfectly bespoke base layers that fit the style of the shirt that they're being worn with.
Oh, of course, yeah, with the colours.
With the continuation of the design and the colours, and if it's purely for technical reasons that you're wearing a base layer instead of wearing a long sleeve shirt, and then it should tie in with the shirt perfectly, and it's not difficult. So if there's any rule that says you cannot have embellishment on the base layer, that is entirely wrong, because the base layer should...
It
should look like the long sleeve shirt, and that's in the rules. And if you're wearing a short sleeve shirt with a long sleeve base layer, it should present the outward appearance of the long sleeve shirt. So why can't you embellish it with hoops for Celtic and different coloured sleeves for, say, Blackburn or something? I it still gets to me. I brought this up years ago when we did a podcast on the Football Attic podcast, and we were both there, and I'm still moaning about it nearly four years later.
But I think, I always remember you, it was more concerned with colour, but I think, I'm in total agreement, because I think it's like in the industry that I'm in, people, designing websites, when mobile web use came out, it's like you've got design for the mobile as well. Can't you just squeeze it and change it? No, you've got to accept that websites need to be viewed on mobiles and tablets. So you consider that from the word go. Same with kit design. If loads of players are wearing base layers, you consider it from the word go, and you think, okay, this is the design problem. How do we get around it? And work from it from there.
It should be regarded as a two-part shirt. So, there's opportunities. The kids want to look like their favourite player. If their favourite player wears a base layer, then they're going to buy the exact base layer that needs to be worn with the... They're going to buy two items of clothing instead of one. So why have people not properly cottoned onto this?
It reminds me, Jay, when you play in the school team, and you turn up to play the game and you get the team shirts, this is back in my day, and they say, oh, as long as you're wearing white shorts and white socks, it's fine. Mm. And you turn up with Puma shorts or Umbro shorts or Admiral shorts, whatever. It's a complete mismatch. Some have stripes down the side. It's almost got that feel to it. It's almost like, well, here's your basic kit, and you customise it whichever way, bring your own shorts, bring your own socks. Mm. It feels to me that's what's going on. And you're losing that impact of what they're trying to achieve with the team kit, which, as we know, is the pinnacle of the club's visual identity.
It goes even further, and I used to actually love that element, because when I used to play football, and I was bad at football, but when I played football, I would deliberately flaunt my personality through the shorts and socks that I would wear. So even if they said, here are your socks, I would go, no, I've got my own pair of red socks and these like Liverpool socks or something, so I wouldn't even wear them. But that was a long time ago. It doesn't matter, mate, you're not even playing today, you're a sub, that's fine, wear what you want.
Cut your oranges into segments and leave it at that.
It goes beyond that, in that Bournemouth have got, I can't remember what they've got, I think they've got, do they have black sleeves on their kit?
No, red sleeves.
They've got red sleeves on their kit. They have long sleeve shirts, and some players have worn long sleeve shirts this season, but the base layers they wear are black. Can you believe that? Well,
that is bad.
2016 in a nutshell. Forget Trump and everything else. Bournemouth wearing black base layers.
That's it. On that bombshell.
Yeah.
No, but you're okay. Right. I see where you're coming from totally on that. It's got to be considered now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on. It's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, well, I think we have covered an enormous amount. Is there anything that we've forgotten about 2016?
No, I think it's generally positive. In terms of design, it's generally positive, but I still question the direction where kit design is going. Yeah, I think potentially it's looking good, but it's got to get out of a bit of a cul-de-sac it's in. That's my view.
I would argue that it doesn't know where it is at the minute. Because as I said at the outset, we are in a transitional time, and it doesn't know which direction it's going to go in. So 2017, let's see what happens.
Are there any leaked kits out at the moment?
I don't look at them anymore. I don't want to see them. And I got this from you, because you used to say that you didn't like to see the leaked images. But
that's why, I keep away from them totally.
They're out there, and I notice them from time to time, but I think it massively undermines the actual launch now. I'm of the opinion I would just want to wait as we're approaching Christmas, and Christmas will be gone, or it will, Christmas Day will be gone by the time this is published. I would say just wait until Christmas Day to open your presents. Don't have a peek before.
Yes.
That's my advice.
Let me make a note of that. That's very good. You're quite right.
So that's 2016. 2017, we will wait and see. Something I haven't mentioned is there's been all kinds of things going on the website on designfootball.com with competitions and lots of fantastic kits. That's been quite wonderful. So visit that. Upload your designs. Join the website if you haven't joined the website. Contact us on Twitter and Facebook. They are the Twitter and Facebook names that you would imagine them to be. And yeah, if there's anything that you want to tell us, or John is on Facebook and Twitter as well. Twitter is True Colours Kits.
That's
on
it.
Facebook, it's True Colours Football Kits.
On I think Facebook, so, and on Instagram as well at True Colours Kits.
Instagram as well. Oh, that is all of the social media.
Well, they tell me it's the next big thing.
Oh, Instagram. Oh, okay. I'm sure people are saying that. Yeah. Do you follow the Kardashians on there as well?
I had to think who they were. No, is that the woman with the famous for having a bum? Yeah. No, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't follow her.
No. Okay. Well, she follows you, I hear.
Oh, I can add her. My only other celebrity is Huey Morgan from the Fun Loving Criminals. That's good to know.
I'm not sure he's a celebrity anymore, is he?
Hey, come on, don't knock it. That's the only one I've got.
Okay. He's following you on
He follows
Instagram.
Me on Twitter, yeah. I don't know why.
Oh, he follows you on Twitter? Oh, my.
Yeah, was it Huey Morgan, isn't it?
Huey Morgan smashed a mug on Never Mind the Buzzcocks, and he hasn't been heard of since.
Do you know what? You're right. Neither's Never Mind the Buzzcocks.
No, that's true. Many careers ended with that moment. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, that's us sounding really relevant as we go into 2017. Yeah, Huey Morgan, right. Never mind the Buzzcocks. Okay. Right, so that's it. That is our review of 2016. It's been very enjoyable talking to you, John, as it always is.
And likewise, Joe. I always love coming on the podcast.
I'll have you back on if we'll get some podcasts done next year, hopefully, and we'll get you on again and more opinions on the state of affairs. Thank you for coming on, John.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Everyone should visit John's website because it is fantastic, and lots of things. Just the Facebook and the Twitter, because there's lots of. You were doing the advent calendar.
Yeah.
Kits. That was a wonderful thing.
That's gone down really well. It's been brilliant. That's the response to that, which is good. So, as ever, I say this every year, I've got so much stuff planned, but I'm in talks with two or three different people about projects. So I'm hoping at least one or two of them will come off this year. So it should be good.
Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing those and hearing about those. So visit the website, contact me. Oh, I'm J29ers. If you ever want to send me a message on Twitter, I'm J29ers on there. But you can also contact Design Football, but that'd be far more professional. If you get a response from Design Football, it's not going to be it's going to be more politically correct, more likely. so if you want the real me, then J29ers. Okay. Well, thanks very much, John.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you for listening, and more podcasts to come. So look out for those. Bye-bye.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.